Amidst Michigan's ongoing housing debates, a significant legislative package known as the Tenant Empowerment Act has emerged. This collection of bills seeks to codify and bolster the rights of renters across the state. And at the heart of this decision is the delicate balance between increasing housing supply and ensuring tenant protections. Erica Farley is the executive director of the Rental Property Owners Association. She joins us on the JR Morning Live line with her insights into this proposed legislation. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
And so this package includes a right to repair provision. Now, that allows tenants to deduct repair costs from rent if landlords fail to address any problems in a timely manner. What's your thoughts on this, and how might it affect the relationship between landlords and tenants?
So we have definitely have concerns of several things. One of them is these timelines. The very first kind of level, talking about the health and safety, which is, of course, extremely important, is set at 24 hours. And right now in Michigan, property owners have to give residents 24 hours just to request to get into the property. So we're really unclear on how that timeline is going to work, and also concerns about getting estimates and making sure that these estimates, if they are actually gotten, are from licensed, insured individuals, and how all that's going to work. We really don't feel like that's spelled out clearly within the bill.
State Senator Sarah Anthony introduced this legislation, and she's saying she's coming from the point of view where some of these homes in Lansing are uninhabitable, that people are renting, and it's tough living conditions. So certainly you can understand that, but on the other side, you're looking for more sort of details, correct?
Definitely. We're definitely looking for more details. And of course, we want to make sure that all the properties, everyone's home, this is someone's home, that we want to make sure that they are safe and well-maintained, and want to make sure that that's definitely taken care of. But a couple things. One, the locals are coming in, they should be doing these inspections and checking these places. And where's a certain responsibility of the locals? Two, as we talk about, you know, we talk about this package, but can't totally talk about it in a vacuum, because there are about 100 housing bills that have been introduced in the Michigan legislature. And how, you know, looking at maybe taking a sledgehammer to an issue that needs a scalpel, and how we need to deal with potential bad actors. We, of course, from the RPOA, want to make sure that all property owners are taking care of their properties and that they are safe and well-maintained. But we also have to make sure that that the locals are doing their job, the property owners are doing their job. So we do understand the problem. We do think it needs to be addressed, but we need to make sure that we have the details and everyone is taking care of what needs to be taken care of, including the locals and those inspections.
We have seen, Erica, a dramatic increase in rents over the past 12 months. Property owners are dealing with inflation just like everybody else. I think the question is whether the size of them are justified. A lot of tenants have that question. What's driving these rate increases? And part of this bill package would be a notice of a rent increase in lease renewals, that you would have to give a 90-day heads up to your tenant before the end of their 12-month lease. That seems pretty reasonable, isn't it?
Well, I think a couple things. You have a couple of questions there for me. So you're right. Just like everything else in our economy right now, inflation has affected the rental property industry. And that is the cost of inspections from the cities, that has to do with the cost of labor and paying for a roof or a new water heater or maintaining the property in general. All those things have gone up. The average profit for a property owner is 4 cents on the dollar. So there are not these huge profits on these rental properties. I think that is a common misconception.
This isn't windfall profits or exorbitant margins here.
Without question, these exorbitant profits are not happening. And I think that's as I said, that's a really common misconception. And then going into the bill, talking about timelines of letting residents know about increases, it's not that we don't understand that, but one of the things we, if you look at the other portion where it says 13 months or more for the lease, that you have to give a 6-month lead time. And a lot can happen in 6 months with our economy and repairs to a building or mm-hmm. to a home. And so we have to really talk about what the reality of that is, because there's reality on both sides for the resident and for the property owner. And what does that actually look like? And what is the best way to go about that to make sure that we are not driving current property owners out of the industry or bringing new people in, because then that will reduce our housing right. and raise costs. And that's the opposite of what everybody wants to
do. Well, like so many things, this is designed to address maybe the 5% of the bad actors, but you're also placing a huge burden on the good actors that are trying to do the right thing.
Right. Another component, though, Erica, of the package is this Tenants' Right to Organize Act, which aims to mm-hmm. empower mm-hmm. renters to form these tenant unions. How do you anticipate that legislation influencing the dynamics of rental properties now?
So we have a lot of questions on the unionization piece. The RPOA is opposed to tenant unions for a variety of reasons, but one of the things that if you look into the language of the bill, it talks about union dues. And so as we are talking about trying to maintain rental prices or potentially even lower rental prices, this is adding on to another thing that tenants would have to pay, which is just raising their monthly cost of living. And then unclear on how the collective bargaining, not that that's used in the bill, but that's basically what unionization is when you do that with an employer and an employee, you have a large group of employees, you are negotiating with management all on these, you know, as a group, mm-hmm. but there's one contract between a leasor and a lessee. So if you have 10 units in a property or you own 10 homes, are they all supposed to have the same lease? But those are different units. So we're unclear on how that would even work and how that would benefit a resident with the cost and relationship with the landlord. And then if someone leaves the unit, and someone new comes in, are they required to be part of this tenant union? What if they don't want to be part of the
right,
tenant union?
Right.
None of that is clear.
Well, we will keep an eye on this, as I'm sure you will as well. Erica Farley, Executive Director of the Rental Property Owners Association, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You as too. Well. And coming up, this Riverfront Park project on the west end of the riverfront. Is that in jeopardy now because of that $40 million Riverfront Conservancy embezzlement? We'll talk about that coming up at 8:05.